Jeremiah chapter 1, at verse 3, it says, "It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again this morning as we come to your house. We ask that you would bless the study this morning as we continue our introduction into the book of Jeremiah, Lord, that you would give us a love for this book, yea, a love for this prophet who stood firm, though many stood against him. And Lord, and many things that are shared in this precious book remind us of things that could happen even in America. And so, Lord, we ask your blessings upon us. Teach us and show us, Lord, for we ask these things in your blessed and holy name. Amen. Well, we already seen the author regarding the book of Jeremiah, which, of course, it by its title, Jeremiah, and we gave internal and external evidence to show that Jeremiah is the author. And, of course, there is areas where this book is not in chronological order, and so it kind of throws some people off. But nonetheless, Jeremiah is the author. And then secondly, we saw the life calling ministry of Jeremiah, and we saw some things that transpired in the life of Jeremiah, along with his own battles within his heart of frustration in his soul against the rebellious people who, instead of serving Jehovah God, they kept serving Baal and other false gods. And again, if you read this precious book, Jeremiah for 40 years preached and perhaps was the only faithful prophet, perhaps the only voice of God to the nation of Judah, and often repeating himself in great passion and great agony and with a heart, with fervency, tears for the people to repent and turn to God, or else facing the inevitable doom and judgment. And we saw that the sad thing, in spite of his godly and holy efforts, no one listened. In Jeremiah 6, we I'll just read it to you. We have read this often. Thus says the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? Walk therein, you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not hearken therein. Also I said, a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. What a description of many in our day that will not want to hearken to the word of God, nor would they want to walk therein. And then, of course, in Jeremiah 7:23, and we sing this, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it might be well with you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walk in the counsel of the imagination of their own heart, and went backward, not forward. This was basically the aspect of the ministry of the prophet Jeremiah, often preaching and preaching, but the sad thing, as we said, no one would listen. Thirdly, we saw the aspect of the date, the time of the writing of Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesied during the reigns of Judah's last 5 kings, though he did live through the reign of 7, before the reign of Josiah, when Jeremiah was a young boy, Manasseh reigned from 697 to 642, and then Manasseh's son, Amon, from 642 to 640. And then Jeremiah was born during the reign of Manasseh, but he didn't get his call to the ministry until 626 B.C., which was the 13th year of Josiah's reign. And as a reminder again, Josiah was Manasseh's grandson. And so Jeremiah served as a prophet throughout the remaining years of Josiah's reign, who was the last good king of Judah, and all the way to the last king, which was Zedekiah. The basic date of Jeremiah's ministry is from 626 B.C. all the way to 586 B.C. And those that, I guess, study somewhat eschatology in the book of Daniel, you should be familiar with the dates of 586 B.C. when Nebuchadnezzar finally came in the last time and utterly destroyed and burnt down Jerusalem and took the rest of them captives into exile. But as I said, last time, I wanted to look at some of these kings, and the first one we looked at was King Josiah, because he was the last good king of Judah, and we saw it from the perspective of the book of Chronicles, Second Chronicles, and I never really got a chance to get into the book of Second Kings, which I wanted to see another aspect of application to the life of this godly young man, Josiah. So I'll ask you to turn this morning again to 2 Kings 22. It's like the Gospels, you know, the Kings and Chronicles, you know, they all give you something different, but it's a blessing when you put it all together, and I just want to highlight some things in the book of the Kings that was not in the book of Chronicles. But in 2 Kings 22, again in verse 1, we see that he was 8 years old, verse 1, when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. In verse 2, it says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, walking all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And again, it just blows my mind, you know, when you read this, of a young, such a young man to have such a godly desire for God, and that he would not turn to the left nor to the right. You'd expect that to be written of a seasoned saint or somebody, you know, Daniel, already an old warrior, an old Christian, Joseph, already been through the fire, but no, an 8-year-old boy. And he maintained that the rest of his life, that he did not turn to the side, nor did he turn to the right hand. And what's interesting, you have to understand, they all had, under the administration, men that would give him counsel and to help him and all that, like all the other kings, but he was not influenced by any of them as he sought to walk in God's way. And in verse 3, when he was 26 years old, it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, which made him 26, that he decided to repair the house of God. And as they were repairing the house of God, in verse 8, it said, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And then they did what they were supposed to do. In verse 10, he reached to King Josiah, and Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, remember, 26 years old, when the king had heard of the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahiakim the son of Shaphan and Ekbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Asahiah the servant of the king, saying, I like what he does here. He says, go inquire of the Lord for me. Go inquire of the Lord for the people. Go inquire of the Lord for all Judah. That's basically what he's saying here. Go inquire of the Lord. Fine, seek the Lord. What does God have to say to us? What does He have to say to me? What does He have to say to the people? What does He have to say to all Judah concerning what? Who's going to win the soccer game? Who's going to win the Spurs game? You know, rah, 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 whatever. The current events of the world, you know? The politician. No, 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 no. I want to know what God has to say to me, to the people, to the nation, to Judah. From what? From His Word. What a godly young man concerning the words of this book that is found at age 26 to have such wisdom. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written written concerning us. And so he goes and they find a prophetess, and we saw this last time. And of course, in verse 17, it says, that she prophesies that they have forsaken. God says they have forsaken me, burn incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hand. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Verse 18, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, according as touching the word which thou hast heard. And again, I love this phrase, as we also saw in 2 Chronicles. Because thine heart was tender, and thou humblest thyself before the Lord when thou heardest. Everybody look up here. I know y'all want to keep on reading. To have a tender heart when we hear the Word of God. To have a tender heart when we read at home. To have a tender heart when we hear the Word of God preach. To have a humble heart to receive it. In other words, what God is commending him is that when he heard the Word of God, it humbled him. And he heard with a humble heart. He heard with a tender heart when he heard the Word of God. And so we must ask ourselves, is your heart, is my heart tender? First of all, to God. And I think if it is, then therefore our heart should be tender and humble when we hear the Word of God. When we read the Word of God. Oh, to God that our heart is not prideful. That we would say, oh, these things are too grievous for us. It's too much of a binding for us. I can't do anything. But did the Word of God just melt your soul? Because you have a tender heart. A humble heart. To receive. As a matter of fact, there's places in the Bible that I enjoy grabbing a particular phrase and applying it as a prayer. I mean, what a prayer to read before you read the Word of God. What a prayer to pray before you read the Word of God. In other words, you can open the Scripture and say, Lord, as I read this morning, give me a tender heart to read Thy Word. Humble my heart to receive Thy Word. Other places is in God, soften their heart. We can pray, Lord, soften my heart as I read Thy Word. Open down mine eyes to behold wondrous things out of Thy Word. To pray in such a manner that God would speak to us from His Word. Or even when you hear a sermon, Lord, speak to me. Give me a humble heart. Not that it's going to be prideful just in case the pastor happens to hit on something that I might disagree with him and I'm prideful and I close my ear. Humble my heart. Give me a tender heart. And again, I beg to remind you, this is not, as we would say, a seasoned saint. He was only 26 years old. They found the Word of God. They found the law of God. He tore his clothes, showing his brokenness. And his heart was tender and humbled. And so now the Lord will honor him, because he'll honor those that honor him. That is powerful. Again, he tells Josiah, verse 19, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest. When thou heardest what I spoke against this place, against the inhabitants thereof. That they should become a desolation and a curse, and have rent thy clothes and wept before me. I have hurt thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And I want you to remember this particular phrase right here, because there's some scholars that argue or believe that he was foolish when he went to war against Pharaoh Necho when they came to to help the Assyrians against the Babylonians, and they said it was a mistake and that God punished him. I really don't believe that. I just think God took him home early so that he wouldn't see all the awful rejection of the Word of God as Jeremiah did. I think the Lord just spared him from that. That's my two cents. You don't have to agree with me, but that's my two cents. And so no doubt, as we have said before, I believe Josiah was a 37 man, a man of peace. He went to the grave as a man of peace. And so God tells him that all that I prophesied against Judah will not happen toward you, because I am going to take you home. I will gather you with your fathers and into thy grave. And into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes, here it is, shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. And this verse to me qualifies why I believe he went after Pharaoh Necho and he was killed in that battle. Because I believe the Lord was going to spare him, that he would not see the evil that he was going to bring to Judah. And then in 2 Kings 23, we continue regarding the life of Josiah. In verse 1 of 2 Kings 23, the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah in Jerusalem. And the king went up to the house of the Lord. And all the priests, the prophets, the people, both great and small, and he read in the ears of all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimony and his statutes with all their heart, with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood to the covenant. In other words, not only did he make a covenant with himself to God, saying that he would walk after the Lord, that he would keep the commandments of the Lord, that he would keep the testimony of the Lord, that he would keep the statutes of the Lord. And he would do it how? With all his heart, all his soul, all his mind. It's one thing, again, 26 years old, what would a godly young man to make a covenant with God? But what he did, he called Judah to also make a covenant with God. And all the people stood to the covenant. And then, notice what he did. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down illustrious priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burn incense unto Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the planets. I mean, you think zodiac, the zodiac sun, and astrology is something new? They all worshipped that back then. They worshipped Baal, they worshipped the sun, the moon, the signs, we would say the 12 signs, and to the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven. You see, what Josiah is doing here, he's not just giving God lip service. He's living out what he has promised to do. He lives out his covenant, not in the talk, but in his walk. He follows suit. And he brought out, verse 6, the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and turned it at brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites, that were by the house of the Lord. How wicked, right by the house of the Lord, where the woman woke hanging for the grove. That was one of the first things the kings would do, is to destroy the houses of the Sodomites, because they understood this homosexuality is a sin before God, and it is an abomination before God. I don't care what the people in our day say, but that is the essence of truth. Amen. Yeah. And that's why they would remove it. And it was also the house of prostitution and all that. By the house of God, can you believe that? So you see why when he read the law of God that had been lost for so long, when they found the book of the law, that's why he rent his clothes. That's why he was so broken. That's why he had a tender heart. That's why he had a humble heart. Talk about having a revival, man. He had his own personal revival. In verse 8, and he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense to Geba, to Beersheba, break down the high places of the gate that were the entering in of the gate of Josiah, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Verse 10, he defiled Topaz, that's where they would offer their children in the valley of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter to pass through the fire of Molech. You know, it's one thing to see the infidel, to see those that are not the people of God to do this thing, to do these things. But those that name the name of God and they would pass their children to the fire, that is wicked. So you understand that God's judgment is coming upon these people. Verse 11, and Josiah took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the son at the entering of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was by the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the son with the kings. And a sad verse to me, really. Verse 13. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Sidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabite, Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. Do you think that what Solomon had built for Ashtoreth, for his wife, that corrupt his heart? Though I believe he repented in his repentance and seen in the book of Ecclesiastes, nonetheless, this continued all the way until the time of King Josiah. I mean, he is coming completely clean. Remember, I beg to remind you, this is not a 60-year-old man. This is a mere 26-year-old with such godly wisdom. By no means when I was age 26 had any wisdom like this at all. I live for myself, for my flesh, and for nobody else. I was lost. He break in pieces the images, cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar was at Bethel, and the high places, verse 15, which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made both the altar and the high place. He break down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were in the mount, and sent, and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, what title is this that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let, see, everything else he was grinding to powder, destroying it, but these bones, he said, let him alone. Let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. Now, I didn't get a chance to get to this two Sunday nights ago because we were just looking at the life of Josiah from the Chronicles. But I did want to get to this point. Now, keep your finger here. Go to 1 Kings 13. And I just want to show you something amazing. This is the man of God that he's speaking about right here. 1 Kings 13 and in verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God. We're not even told what his name is or anything. But behold, there is a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it, it shall be poured out. Now, you go, you can read 1 Kings 13 in your own time. Go back to 2 Kings 23. In other words, under Jeroboam, we're not told who this man is, but he was a man of God. And he came and he prophesied. And he prophesied not just a child shall be born, but he even named him. He says his name shall be called Josiah. In other words, he prophesied by name. And here we see the fruition of it, or the prophecy coming to pass. So you understand why here in 2 Kings 23:17-18, why these bones he did not touch. Because it was a prophecy regarding him, even to the point of what he should be called, Josiah. And even did that for a lost man named King Cyrus, by name, long before he was born, that it was through Cyrus that they would rebuild the temple of God. Amazing. And people still deny this book, huh? Nonetheless. Verse 19 of 2 Kings 23. And all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the king of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the act that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars, and burned men's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem. And the king commanded all the people, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Wow. Not just anyway, but how? As it is written in the book. There's man's traditions, and then there is God's instruction. And it was quite clear how God had instructed him regarding the covenant. In verse 22, it said, surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. That's a powerful statement. And again, I beg to remind you, this is a 26-year-old man. And there's never been a Passover such as the one they celebrated. In the 18th year of King Josiah, 26 years old. Because he started when he was 8. 8 and 18 is 26. And in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away that, the purpose of that. He might perform, again, he's not giving God lip service, he's giving God heart, H-E-A-R-T, service. That he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And notice what it says, verse 25. And like unto him, was there no king before him that turned to the God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind, according to all the law of Moses? Neither after him arose there any like him. You want to emulate somebody? Emulate Josiah, my dear ones. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherein his anger was kindled toward Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. Remember, Manasseh was Josiah's grandfather. In other words, everybody look up here. I know y'all want to be reading. Go read this afternoon, not when I'm teaching. Very simple application. A very important practical principle. We will reap what we sow. God is not mocked. We think we might get away with it or whatever, but we will reap what we sow. And Manasseh sowed wickedness. Even though the Lord saved Manasseh, changed his heart. And even when he came out of the dungeon, you know, he knocked down some of the idolatry and all that. But he had sowed so much sin that even everything that Josiah had done would not pacify, propitiate, turn away the wrath of God. Why? Because of what Manasseh, his grandfather, had done. Verse 27, and the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house which I said, my name shall be there. And now we come to the conclusion of his life. And this is where I was saying, where he died, where many believe he was wrong, but I believe he did the will of God. Verse 28. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And we already dealt with the Chronicles last time. Verse 29. In his day, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates. And King Josiah went against him, and he slew him in Megiddo when he had seen him. That is, Josiah was killed in the battle of Megiddo. And his servants carried him in a chariot, dead from Megiddo, and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoash, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's stead. And Josiah was the last good king of Israel. And he did his best to reform the nation from the awful wickedness and idolatry and abomination in which they were living. But the Lord was still going to bring judgment, and I think this is why the Lord took him home early at a young man. As a very young man, spared his heart that he would not see all the evil of his beloved Judah. And so here we have, again, King Josiah. What a glorious life of a great man of God. Well, we see here that his son was made the next king under Jeremiah's preaching. Jehoahaz, which made things worse, and from here on it was all basically downhill. We shall see in the first few chapters of Jeremiah that there was wicked rabid wickedness, as you read about, even after, though they had seen such, or heard, excuse me, such words of King Josiah, there was still such unfaithfulness to God. Wicked idolatry, even everything, what he did, adultery, I mean, the prophets and the priests, I mean, they kept prophesying falsely to the people, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They led the people astray. There was injustice, unrighteousness in the actions and lives of the people. And it was so sad that nothing was changed for the good. Sadder still was the fact that Josiah's son was wicked, and he only lasted 3 months. In 2 Kings 23, 31 and 32, and Jehoiakim was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna, different Jeremiah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all his fathers had done. There might have been no change in the hearts of the people, but all around them things were changing rapidly. In 612 B.C., Assyria's capital, Nineveh, finally fell to the Babylonians. And from this point forward, the Babylonians controlled the whole area. After Josiah was killed, again, by Pharaoh Necho, Judah came under Egyptian control. And Necho replaced Jehoiakim, which only lasted 3 months, with the third king under Jeremiah's ministry, Eliakim. And he reigned from 609 to 597 B.C. And they changed his name to Jehoiakim. So Eliakim is the same as Jehoiakim. In 2 Kings 23, 34 to 37, we see this. It says, and Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king to in the room of Josiah, his father, and turned his name into Jehoiakim. And he took Jehoahaz away. He only lasted 3 months, and he died there. And at the end of his life, verse 37, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. So King Jehoiakim's heart was not much different than his brother or predecessor. And it was much different than his father Josiah, as he fiercely, wickedly, this king resisted the messages and the preachings of Jeremiah so much. This is how much he resisted Jeremiah's preaching, this third king. He did it so much that he even burned the scrolls of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 36. And we already read this in our first introduction, so I don't want to go and reread that again. But again, I would say this was perhaps one of the lowest times in the whole life of Jeremiah. That Josiah, that godly king, Josiah's son, his son, such a godly king, but his son, Jehoiakim, refused to listen to the words of God. And worse than that, he burned God's words. And I think scholars believe this happened in 604 B.C. and marked it as, it were, as we would say, the point of no return in the history of Judah. And therefore, judgment is inevitable. And perhaps at this point, Jeremiah felt no longer hopeful that Judah might repent and turn to the living and true God. As the enemy of the north, the Babylonians were coming, and they would fulfill God's will and God's purpose. In 605 B.C., the Babylonians defeated the Egyptians in the Battle of Carchemish by the river Euphrates. Jehoiakim served the Babylonians for about 3 years, and he was but a vassal, V-A-S-S-A-L, basically a puppet to the king. But in 601 B.C., he thought he would rebel against the king. In 2 Kings 24, it says, in his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant. And he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him the bands of the Chaldees, the Syrians, the Moabites. Not only was it the Chaldeans, but the Lord sent all these against King Jehoiakim to destroy Judah, according to the word of the Lord, which is spake by his servants the prophet, surely at the commandment of the Lord, came thither upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did. For all of the innocent blood that he shed to fill Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon, nor the wrath of the acts of Jehoiakim, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. And therefore, it brings us to the fourth king under the ministry of Jeremiah, preaching in 597 B.C., Jehoiakim was also taken captive along with his queen mother and so many high-ranking people in 597, which was, I think, the second or third exile. I think it was the second exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. I think Daniel went in the first one, but I think in this second one in 597 B.C., Ezekiel is taken captive as an exile. And no doubt, I believe Ezekiel, as a young man, probably heard Jeremiah preach as a young man at the temple in Jerusalem. It continues there in 2 Kings 24 that Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became to reign. He reigned Jerusalem 3 months also, and his mother's name was Nehushta. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as all his fathers had done. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar came, took the whole city. At verse 14, I mean, talk about tearing all the treasures from the house of Solomon, all the gold that had been made for the temple of the Lord. In verse 14, and carried away all Jerusalem and all princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives in the craftsmen, smiths. None remained save the poorest people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, the king's mother, the king's wife, officers, all into captivity. He brought them all to Babylon. But after first exile, or second exile, I think it was, really, King Nebuchadnezzar made another of Josiah's sons, Matthiah, king of Judah, and this would be the fifth king under Jeremiah's ministry. And Nebuchadnezzar would change Mattaniah's name to Zedekiah, and Zedekiah would be the last king of Judah. I mean, there is a sense that, if you read through the book of Jeremiah, that at least Zedekiah did consult Jeremiah. But I believe that he was so afraid of the officials that were constantly watching them under King Nebuchadnezzar that he would not obey the prophet. I won't take the time, but you can read it in Jeremiah 21, 1 through 7, Jeremiah 37, 1 through 10, Jeremiah 38, 14, 27, where Jeremiah is telling them, do not fight against the Babylonians. Do not fight against King Nebuchadnezzar. Submit. Surrender. And what happened, the king's councilman told him basically that, no, Jeremiah is in cahoots with King Nebuchadnezzar. He's a traitor. So it was under King Zedekiah that they put Jeremiah in prison, basically for treason. But he was telling them what God was. Jeremiah was telling him what God told Jeremiah, don't fight against King Nebuchadnezzar. Submit yourself. Surrender. The purpose for this was the fact that if they would surrender, everything would have been okay regarding the city. But Zedekiah rebelled, would not listen to Jeremiah. So guess what finally happened? In 586 B.C., as though Nebuchadnezzar said, I've had enough. And he came to Jerusalem and utterly destroyed Jerusalem, burned the city down, burned the temple, destroyed everything whatsoever that was in Jerusalem, all because Zedekiah would not listen to Jeremiah's preaching. And so after about an 18-month siege, Jerusalem finally fell to the Babylonians, and the city and the temple were destroyed. And of course, this is the last exile in 586 B.C., where many were taken to Jerusalem. You can read this at the end of 2 Kings 24 and at the end of 2 Chronicles 35. You can go, I don't have the time to read it. I really wanted to read it, but I don't have the time. You can go and read that this afternoon if you want, and you see how the city fell to King Nebuchadnezzar and everything that happened. Well, amazing. Not much is known about the end of Jeremiah's life, and therefore the focus of the book of Jeremiah is more upon God and more upon the Word of God rather than some biography on the prophet. Do I have time? No, I don't have time. I really wanted to get Jeremiah 39 because there's always that story that fascinates me. Remember, it was Abimelech, which I believe was Jeremiah's only convert in 40 years of preaching, that helped him get out of prison. But what amazes me in Jeremiah 39, how King Nebuchadnezzar treated Jeremiah with great respect. You go read it there in Jeremiah 39. It blows my mind. My question is, how is it that a king, a wicked king, a depraved king, a worldly king, how is it that a worldly king would treat God's prophet better than the people of God? The people of God put him in prison. It is a sad day when the world treats the ministers of God better than the people of God do. And that is exactly what happened to Jeremiah. And that totally just blows my mind as I see what King Nebuchadnezzar did and he treated Jeremiah. And of course, the end of the chapter of chapter 39 ends good. And I say amen to that. And then quickly we'll end with this. The dates of the king of Judah during Jeremiah preaching: 604, 609, Josiah, a godly king. 609 for 3 months, Jehoiakim reigned 3 months, a wicked king. 608 to 598, 11 years, Jehoiachin reigned. He was a wicked king. 598, 597 for 3 months, Jehoiachin, a wicked king. And then the last king, 597 to 586, 11 years, Zedekiah reigned, and he was a wicked king. And then, of course, we have the fall of Jerusalem in 586 B.C. And this is basically the date regarding, surrounding around the book of Jeremiah. Let's pray. Blessed Lord, we thank you again this morning. And Lord, we thank you for thy word that clearly sets forth the aspect of the time and date of Jeremiah, but it also grieves the heart as we see so many wicked kings who had the oracles of God, who had the word of God, but as we have read already in our introduction, they would not hearken to the word of God, nor would they walk in the word of God. But thanks be to God, in the midst of this, there was such a godly king named Josiah who served his God with a willing heart, a loving heart, an obedient heart, who would not turn to the left nor to the right, served God with all his heart, mind, soul, and mind, who had a tender heart, a humble heart before the God of his salvation. Oh Lord, help us emulate this young man, Josiah, that our walk would not be just a walk of lip service, but that we would walk with heart, H-E-A-R-T, heart service for God. And so, Lord, we ask you blessings upon us as we dismiss. For thy name's sake we ask. Amen. Let's take a break.